Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley, 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio today to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Doug Tooman. Our friend Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years, graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner, a timely guest, given that today is the Boston Marathon. Dr. Tooman, what are you doing here? Okay, thanks and welcome for coming back to Vox Pop to participate in today's discussion. 1-800-348-2551. This is always a popular program. And over to our wonderful volunteer or staff member, Dina. Dina, as big and as bold as you can make the things, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Doctor, anything particularly hot right now?
Everything is hot. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we love having you.
It's great to be back.
You're writing a book, aren't you?
I am writing a book.
What's the book called?
Ask the Foot Doctor, and it got started from your show because we have so many great callers who have questions. I figure we should put the information into writing.
What's plantar fasciitis?
All of that stuff.
And like
everything.
That, right?
And give everybody all the information from soup to nuts.
What's a neuropathy? Yeah. Each of those things.
It's going to be great. So next time it's published, I'll be back with a copy.
I would say so. I'd love to do that. Let's go to Karen in Clifton Park. Karen, you're on. Doug, can you hear?
I can.
Go ahead. Karen?
Hello. Good afternoon. I have a question about my daughter who sprained her ankle about 3 weeks ago. She's basically pain-free as long as she's standing or just walking straight on. But any movement side to side is quite painful and can, you know, if she kind of loses her balance a little bit, it can swell right up. What I'm wondering, is it okay if she works those ankles, kind of doing some circles with her feet, you know, to strengthen her muscles and stuff, or maybe are we due for another visit to a doctor?
Hi, Karen. Let me just ask, how old is your daughter?
She's 19.
Okay, and is she an athlete?
She was. She's not really participating in sports at this point.
Okay. First injury, correct? First big injury to her ankle?
First sprain of that ankle, yep.
Okay, so just a few quick pointers. With the ankle, obviously, if she had it x-rayed and it's not broken, I just want to point out one of the old sayings, which is a sprain can be worse than a break. And let me just explain to you why. And it's not that it's really worse. It's the sprains go untreated. So they go to the ER or wherever, take an x-ray, and they say it's not broken. But around the ankle, you have three ligaments on the outside. You've got ligaments on the inside. You've got cartilage. You've got tendons and all that other stuff that goes with it. So what happens is a lot of times after an injury, the most important thing is active rehabilitation. So you want to build up those ligaments and you want to make sure that she gets to be stable. And it is a little bit challenging around the time of the injury because you're vulnerable to re-spraining it if you're not supported. So I always recommend getting some type of ankle wrap, brace, strapping so that she can be out and not be worried about it. But physical therapy, whether it's on your own or with a physical therapist, becomes important to get the ankle so it is as good as it was and she can have a normal ankle, because we do end up fixing ankle problems when they don't get fixed later on in life. Sometimes the ligaments are weak, you continue to sprain your ankles, and we have wonderful procedures to fix that, which hopefully she will not need. But PT for sure, whether it's on your own, all the range of motion, standing on one toe, balancing, going up and down, you know, all of that stuff is great, all the circles and spell the alphabet, and hopefully she'll be great. But if not, she should go back to a doc and have it looked at and be referred to possibly PT.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome, Karen.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. By the end of the program, you won't be able to get in. So if you want to talk to Dr. Tooman, now is the time to do it. And I know that in a moment, I'm going to see the blackboard here. That's great. And we'll go to Jim in...
Pennsylvania.
Okay, Jim, you're on.
Well, types of fungus that are associated with athlete's foot, and with the powders now being incriminated, being associated with certain types of cancers, how might that affect that treatment in the future?
Okay, good question, Jim. Athlete's foot is a fungus infection, and there are many different kinds of fungus that infect the foot. There's actually two in particular, which I won't go into boredom with details. It's called Trichophyton rubrum, and one is Trichophyton mentagraphitis. And they are readily cured with the topical medications, many over-the-counter, usually the Lamisils and the other ones along those lines. And if it doesn't resolve with that, we do have prescription strength ones that cover a broad spectrum of different fungus that are surrounding the feet. The feet are encased in shoes all day long. It's warm. You wear socks. There's sweat. There's moisture. There's increased heat. And that makes our feet vulnerable to athlete's foot fungus. I have not seen any relationship to cancers from the athlete's foot fungus on one's foot to a cancer of any sort, never in over 30 years. And certainly if one has cancer, then your immune system can get weakened. You're more vulnerable to fungus onto your feet if you're having chemotherapy or other things, but not the other way around. And yeah, the powders are fine. The creams are better. And if it doesn't clear up with good hygiene and good shoes, I usually recommend switching shoes every other day so it doesn't stay sweaty. Spray your shoes with Lysol. Make sure they dry out really good. And get the socks that wick away moisture. The socks that you think cotton is the best, but it's not always the best because it absorbs moisture next to the skin. So get the ones in the sporting goods stores, you know, like Goodfeet or wherever, where you can get the socks that are blister-free and wick away moisture. That'll help with that as well. And if the over-the-counter medicines don't work, try the prescription from a doc.
Okay, Jim, thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in now are excellent. Let's go to Maureen in Glens Falls. Okay, Maureen, you're on.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Well, I have a question about athlete's foot as well. And it's a problem I've been dealing with in just one little spot under a toe, one toe only, for about 10 years. And no matter what I try, I cannot get rid of it. It seems might resolve for a week or something. And the doctor says, don't overuse it. So I do what I have, you know, I use prescription. It was Oxystat last time, and it just keeps coming back. And it's, I don't know what to do about it. You know, I'm careful about my socks. I wash my foot every day. You know, I make sure it's dry, you know, before I put any socks on or anything like that. I'm at a loss. I feel like, oh my God, I'll cut my foot off. Maybe that'll.
Well, Maureen, it certainly sounds like you've tried a lot of things. Let me just ask you one or two quick questions. Does it itch or burn or hurt at all or not?
Well, it hurts mostly.
Okay.
Skin is just split like a cut.
Right. So here's my thought for you for the day. This may not be athlete's foot fungus, even though it's been treated as such and you were told you had athlete's foot fungus. The reason it may not be, it's only one spot, it's in the same place, and it's under the same toe all the time. And that's not typical of athlete's foot.
Oh, really?
Usually, no, it's not typical. Usually it'll spread out more and it will be in different places. So we see that. Sometimes there's a little crease in the skin, and the crease in the skin with moisture will make a small little cut in that area, and it continues to open up. And it's usually on the bottom of the toes where that happens. And those are very difficult to heal. It's more like a fissure or an abrasion. And you're not going to go wrong by putting the athlete's foot cream on, but it doesn't cure it. As a matter of fact, those are very difficult to cure based on those locations. So if it's never been cultured, which it sounds like it hasn't been, my guess is that you're kind of stuck with this abrasive area under the toe, then you probably should either use some type of skin cream just to keep it from cracking, but it may not be fungus, and that may be why you've never cured it.
Okay.
I wish I could give
you more time, but I cannot. We got to take a break. Thank you very much for calling. All right. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a break.
Support comes from the Urological Institute of Community Care Physicians, a team of four uro-oncologists with 75 years of combined experience, providing advanced robotic surgery for kidney, bladder, and prostate cancer, urologyoncology.com. Corinne Compliance Services, Inc., Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota, national compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners, corinnecompliance.com. Saratoga Hospital, now offering 3D mammography technology for early detection of breast cancer, saratogahospital.org for information. Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park, relax, play, wander, and discover 44 lakes, 44 choices, full calendar at 44lakes.com. And from the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org.
And we are back. Thank you, Zachary. Appreciate that very much. Doctor, can you please explain exactly what bunions are, what causes them, and what we can do to prevent them?
Is that come in from the...
That came in over the internet,
media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for social media. Sure, bunions are one of the big painful problems that we see, although sometimes they're not painful. A bunion is usually inherited, usually from grandma or mom, usually on the women's side, but not always. And a bunion is, if you think about your big toe joint, your big toe has two bones in it, and then there's a joint where it bends. That joint, over a period of your life, becomes a little bit unstable, and the metatarsal, it's called the first metatarsal, starts to move inwards. And then there's the physics law for every action. There's an equal and opposite reaction. The big toe starts to move the other way. So you end up with this protruding bump by the great toe, which becomes often difficult to fit in the shoes, painful, and annoying, and especially for women who wear dress shoes, it's hard to fit a shoe on there. So we do a lot of different bunionectomies when they're painful.
You take them off.
We don't take them off. We actually realign the foot. There's a difference in procedures, and that becomes what you really need to speak to your surgeon about, and somebody who is very good, who really guides you through the proper procedure, will give you an excellent result, not like the old days where you fix it once and it's fixed forever. So one and done nowadays. But it all depends upon the x-rays, how big they are. But we'll turn patients away who come in for surgery, and we'll just say, you're not ready yet. It's not painful. It's kind of like your knee. You know, if it's not painful and you can function normally, that's great. But if you can't wear your shoes and it's painful, then we will consider surgical correction. And the surgeries these days, they're done with internal fixation, no external pins or wires, and you know, you get back on your feet pretty quickly.
Do people come in because, you know, their sexual partners are turned off by the bunions?
On occasion, I've seen that. But usually the foot fetish people are online for their stuff and not so much with their partners.
I got it. Well, that explains that. Okay, we'll go to Sarah in Bennington. All right, Sarah, you're on.
Thank you. I've had two different surgical opinions about a large bunion that has developed over a really long time and has caused a hammering of the first toe. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, how do you decide between the two surgical recommendations? Both with foot and ankle specialists, one is a podiatrist and one is a orthopedic. So one recommendation was for an Austin Aiken and then just releasing the first toe if necessary. Uh-huh. And the other was for a Lapidus and using a DeFreeze while for the first toe.
Right. And how old are you now?
56.
Okay. And you're in good health?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I know for all of our callers who don't know what you talked about, those are two common bunionectomy procedures, and they both give great results for the right foot. And the right surgeon, if they believe they can fix it well, either one will probably do the right job for you. Let me just explain the differences for you. If it's a very large bunion, the Lapidus procedure is the more indicated procedure most of the time. But the way you judge it is by radiographs. It's called the intermetatarsal angle, and that's the distance between the first and second metatarsal. There's an angle that we measure, and if it's over a certain amount, then the Lapidus procedure becomes a procedure of choice in many cases. Not all, but most. The Austin procedure is done more towards the head of the metatarsal, further down your foot, and it's a little quicker healing time, and it is a procedure when that angle isn't as big. So it's probably the most common bunionectomy, the Austin procedure. The Aiken procedure is one where they'll do something to the great toe to bring it over. Most of the times we don't use the Aiken procedure, so we'll either do the Austin with the soft tissue releases or the Lapidus, which will bring the toe over. The Lapidus will take you off your foot for a longer period of time post-surgically, Sarah. So that's something for you to know. So really what it depends upon is which doctor you felt the most confidence in. But a large bunionectomy probably would be the Lapidus in most cases, depending upon the x-rays. And maybe a third opinion is indicated.
How often is there a problem with the Lapidus actually, you know, the bone, the joint fusing there?
It's put it this way, a symptomatic problem is very rare. X-ray findings might be about 10%, might not fully fuse, but the symptoms are rare. So it's an area that heals really well. And again, you just need somebody, it's very important, that's board certified and does a lot of those procedures.
And Donna from Albany wants to know, what's the average recovery time for a bunion surgery?
Well, vary, and this is a good case, and we can answer Donna and Sarah at the same time. You know, with the Austin bunionectomy, we have our patients up and walking in their own shoe within 2 weeks, usually 1 week off weight bearing, the next week weight bearing, and by the end of 2 weeks, if everything goes well, we have them back into their own shoe. A Lapidus, you're talking about 6 weeks with potentially non-weight bearing or protected weight bearing.
Sarah, thank you for calling.
Can I ask one more question?
All right.
The last question I would have is, my other foot, I had a surgery years and years ago, and I lost the joint in my large toe that was also a bunionectomy. Should that inform my decision of one procedure versus the other?
You lost your joint. What do you mean? You lost your joint?
It became bone on bone. So that the bunionectomy failed, the bunion reformed, right, and it was bone on bone with no joint in my big toe.
It's probably related to the procedure of choice from many years ago, but it would indicate probably you're better off with a Lapidus to me.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. All right. Let's go to Jim in Somers, Connecticut. Jim, you're on.
Hello, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I've had a recurring problem or an ongoing problem with pain in my right foot, just in the tops of the toes on my right foot. If I have a shoe on and I've tried larger and wider shoes for any length of time, this pain develops. And as soon as I take the shoe off and walk around, the pain is relieved. Now, I went to a podiatrist, and she treated me by giving me injections in the top of my foot just behind the toes, telling me that she was trying to kill the nerve in those toes because it was not needed. And I had 10 injections, and it never changed at all. And I kind of lost faith in that doctor. And so I've been living with this for at least 3 years now. Is there anything I can do for that?
Good question, Jim, and sorry you had 10 injections. That seems like an extra load of them, more than usual and customary. And it sounds like the doctor was treating you for what would be a Morton's neuroma, which is a painful nerve in the ball of your foot. But what you're telling me is the pain's on the top of your toes?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the classic Morton's neuroma, that Morton's neuroma where you're trying to make the nerve non-functional. It would be pain more in the ball of your foot on the bottom, usually between the third and fourth or second and third toes, but again on the bottom. So if you're dealing with pain on the top of your foot and the toes, usually that is irritation from, you know, early hammer toe formation. Or are your toes straight or are they contracted?
No, they're straight. I'm very active still. I'm 66 years old, but I'm very active. I just retired some months ago, and I was working as a mechanic, and it required me to kneel a lot and to twist a lot, and I never had any trouble, you know, doing any of that. But just like I say, just the pain that develops just after having the shoe on for a short time, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what you have by your description. It would really something we'd have to look at, but it either sounds like you did have a Morton's neuroma or you have other issues, but I don't know that you really have a diagnosis because you basically are talking about pain in your toes, but that's not really a diagnosis. We really got to figure out what's going on there, and I wish I could help you more.
Hey, Jim.
All right, well, I appreciate you talking to me anyway.
Go for a board-certified foot specialist and get another opinion.
Thanks,
please.
Jim.
That's what I'll do. Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll go to Bob in Holland Patent. Okay, Bob, you're on. Yo, Bob.
Yes, I have a bent toe, and prior to this bent toe, it's the next toe to the big toe, so it's the next biggest toe. And behind that, for some time, long before I had that, I have a bulge on the football right exactly behind it, which swells and is somewhat uncomfortable in shoes. And now the toe is uncomfortable too, as it's bent around the next smaller toe,
sure,
alongside of it. And my podiatrist has told me that straightening the toe would be an option, but the circulation in my leg and foot is not up to par, so he'd rather not do it.
Wow. So, Bob, you're kind of stuck here. Let me ask you something. Have you been to a vascular doctor to find out if you can be cleared for surgery?
By vascular, do you mean a heart specialist?
No, I mean a vascular doctor. That's a cardiologist, be the heart specialist. There's
this is a cardiologist that I go to.
Right. No, I know that. The cardiologist will clear you for heart, but for your lower extremity, the vascular doctor, there's a wonderful group, the vascular group, and you really should have a non-invasive, it doesn't hurt. They put these blood pressure cuffs around your legs, and they measure the flow to your foot. And there's a certain point where you shouldn't have surgery and a certain point where you'll definitely heal, or you should heal. And you should have that test, because otherwise we're just guessing, and it's probably true that your circulation isn't as good as usual, but maybe you'd be a candidate still if you got a vascular test. So
all right.
So wait. So I want to ask a question. So do diabetics have this vascular issue more than others?
Yes, they do. A higher percentage of vascular patients are diabetics, but it could be smokers. Some people just get clogged up arteries, and it's very easy to test. And this is really important. That's why we work very closely with the vascular group. Because if we're not sure, we get them tested, and we get exact measurements on the blood flow. So there's no guesswork. And then you either get clearance from the vascular doctor, and they're only going to clear you if they have a high reason to believe that you will heal without complication. So
all right,
that's something you should do. Are you a smoker or a non-smoker?
No, I quit smoking 45 years ago.
And are you diabetic?
And I have been, to a vascular surgeon. He put a stent.
Yeah.
In my abdomen to restore circulation to that leg before this occurred.
That's where you want to go, and you're either going to find out you're cleared or not. If you're not cleared, then you're going to have to get special shoes or special inserts to help with the ball of your foot and the hammer toe, because you don't want to get a wound from an irritation.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, thank you very much. Okay.
Good luck, Bob.
Now let's go to Dan in
Massachusetts.
Yeah, right. Okay, Dan in Massachusetts, you're on.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Hey.
I'll try to be quick. I'm driving on the road here. My wife just returned from the doctor with Achilles tendonitis and some bone spurts. She was curious about a second opinion. The doctor sent her home with some exercises and said the only thing we can do about the bone spurts is to cut them out. I was curious if there was anything alternative going on.
Good question, Dan, and you're a nice guy to call in for your wife and find out how you can help
Thanks.
Her. So, yes, there's lots of things, and there's two types of bone spurs that we talk about in the feet relating to the heel. The common one is the bottom of the heel, which is not hers. That's plantar fasciitis or true heel spurs. This is in the back of the heel. So she has an Achilles tendon, which attaches to the back of her heel, and
mm-hmm.
has raised up some bone spurs from the pulling of the tendon on the bone. Not uncommon, very painful, a little more difficult to treat than the bottom, but treated certainly with exercises where you do physical therapy, you stand off the back of a stair. But above and beyond that, she should be wearing heel lifts in her shoes. But above and beyond that, for the simple stuff, there are a lot of things. We do a procedure, non-invasive, called ESWT, which stands for extracorporeal shockwave therapy, where we will help cure the pain of heel spurs without surgical intervention, and we're successful a large percentage of the time. Usually these things are treated non-surgically because the surgery to cure them does take a while to heal, and the patients are laid up for a while because it's involved in the back of the heel where the tendon is. So you have to protect those patients for a little bit. So, yes, physical therapy, our ESWT machines, there's lasers out there. So there's a bunch of things that can be done for PT. So absolutely anti-inflammatories, topical compounds, there's just a whole bunch of things you should be doing. The thing, the exercise we use at home is standing off the back of a stair, let your heel drop down to the stair beneath you, holding for about 3 seconds and pulling yourself back up and stretching that out without too much pain. We use night splints that we put patients in, and we use anti-inflammatories, physical therapy. And if all else fails, we will go to the shockwave, which, again, is non-invasive in-office procedure. And if that fails, we do take the spurs out. So hopefully you can get it cured conservatively.
Okay.
Shockwave therapy is great.
Okay, Dan.
Excellent. Thank you guys very much. Big fan of the show.
And be careful about how you're driving there, will you please?
Yeah, I pulled over.
Thanks. Okay.
Take care now.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going to go to, that was Dan, and now we're going to go to Don. Just one letter difference. Don.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Don.
Yeah,
I'm 70 years old. Hello.
We're here.
Hello.
Yep, you're 70.
Yeah, I'm 70, and I'm still driving truck. I've been driving truck all my life. And I had pain in my right foot, and I went to my doctors, and he said I had fat feet or a fallen arch. But he suggested me to go to Walmart to one of those doctor show machines that you stand on, and it tells you what kind of arch support to get. And I tried it, and the pain went away, but so only last for a while, that, you know, because it cost like $48 to buy a set of them. And so now I changed my shoes that I bought, expensive shoes with an arch thing in it. They feel great, but I still got pain in my ankle bone.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Don, I would say that, you know, be careful what you get at Walmart. They're not custom, and they may, you know, you just... It's like going to the fair and having the guy tell you how much you weigh, or, you know, what your future is going to be. They don't make them for you on the spot there, and it's not really designed for you. And it's actually there's a lawsuit going on right now because they said they're custom and they're not custom. And I recommend that if you have a fallen arch, you go to a good foot specialist, a good podiatrist, and consider your options. One would be a custom orthotic, which won't wear out. It'll last you for years and years, and it will support your foot. And find out what made your arch fall, what you can do about it, and get a custom orthotic so that you can live the next 30 years of your life and not have a painful foot. This is a lot
that,
of
like a plastic thing that they make,
you
know,
It used to be plastic, but now it's made of other materials. But it's made for you from a cast of your foot, and a really skilled podiatrist will design something for you, Don, that really holds your foot in the right position so that you can function normally. And we have great success with that. So wherever you live in Massachusetts, because you got that accent.
You've got to live in Boston, right, Don?
You gotta.
Yeah, I tried that maybe 20 years ago because I had the same problem, because I had both my knees replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're falling apart, Don. You gotta get. You're falling apart. We gotta put you back together here.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not falling. I feel great actually for my age. But that was the only problem, you know. And then he told me they had to make a plastic thing for my foot.
Yep.
But that's the same as like a Walmart one. You know, you go there and it only lasts for a couple of weeks and you're back right where you started from. And that piece there, they charged me $200 to get it. But I noticed, like I said before, I bought real expensive shoes with the arch thing in the thing, in the shoe, and they feel good. But
no, you did say it. You did say it before. Yeah. And we have a rule here, Don. You can only go around once. So anything you want to say, Doc?
Yeah, go see a good podiatrist because your feet are worth it,
and
you really need to
put your feet in the foam there, and they'll make a nice thing for you.
The cast of the foam.
All right.
Good luck, Don. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Judy in Pottown, Poughkeepsie. Judy, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, I think.
Well, I'm calling because I have questions. I have bad feet. I've just had bad feet my whole life. My doctor told me that it was metatarsalgia, What it is, I guess, is the middle metatarsal bone in both of my feet sits lower at the ball of my foot than any of the other bones. So I kind of walk on it. It creates pain. And really, I've been reduced to wearing Crocs for the past 20 years
Crocs.
Pain.
Crocs, yeah. Hey, Judy, could you wait? We have to take a little break. Just hang in there. We'll be right back, okay?
Sure.
You stay right there.
Lots of callers.
Support comes from NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. The Hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. HealthQuest.org for locations. Brattleboro Retreat, offering specialized trauma, mental health, and addiction treatment for police, fire, military veterans, EMTs, and corrections personnel. BrattleboroRetreat.org. Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center, offering a Master of Social Work degree. Full-time, part-time, day, evening, weekend options, online, in-person, hybrid courses. Adelphi.edu for more information. And from Careers in Transition LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersinTransitionLLC.com.
Thanks, Zach, and we're still on with Judy from Poughkeepsie. Judy, continue your story.
Yeah, so back to the bad feet. Bad feet, my metatarsal bone kind of hangs lower on both feet, mm-hmm. the right foot being worse than the left. About 25 years ago, a podiatrist gave me surgery where he took like a wedge piece of bone mm-hmm. out of my metatarsal, lifted it up.
Yep.
And, you know, stuck a pin in there for a little while, and it was better for maybe a year,
mm-hmm.
but it went right back to being, you know, the same since then. And I'm just curious, is there any hope for any kind of relief to where I could have it fixed, you know?
It's a good question, Judy. How old are you now?
45.
40, so you're young. So, yeah, you do want to consider having this fixed. You know, if it's one metatarsal, here's the challenge. You know, when it's a particular metatarsal, you have five metatarsals in the ball of your foot. Usually it's one of the second, third, or fourth that become dropped, as we call them, and you end up walking on that bone. So certainly the first line of defense is wearing shoes all the time, like you said, and wearing inserts and protecting it and, you know, just doing the best you can. And you even had surgery, like you said, 20 years ago. But what happens when you lift one of them, this may recur under another one. So we always tell people that it may not even be the same one you had previously. It might be the same one. It might be the one next to it. But there are some good procedures out there, and you may be a candidate for one of the newer procedures as opposed to the other ones. They took out little wedges. It might have a planing on the bottom. Maybe it can be balanced better. But certainly look into it. You're too young to live with foot pain the rest of your life at 45. You know, it's just as a
But
you,
but I love your, I love the name of your disease.
Metatarsalgia.
You don't see that very often.
Well, it sounds so exotic.
Yeah, it does.
But really, it's just...
Thankfully, it's not contagious, thankfully.
It sounds exotic, but it's like something good you might want to eat in a stew.
I'll have metatarsalgia with that.
Right. Thank you so much, Judy. Appreciate your call. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye. We'll go to Emma in Latham. Okay, Emma, your turn.
You mean Anna?
No, I didn't mean Anna, but we just heard the wrong name. Don't you worry about it, Anna. Anna, what's the difference?
That's fine. So I have a quick question. I'm in my early 50s. This might not be related, but I had both carpal tunnel surgeries on my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I've noticed that when I take long walks that my left foot, you know, like the second and the third toe, mm-hmm. getting numb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different shoes and maybe different weather. It's not all the time. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is that stimulus? issues, or is that something completely different, or circulation issues?
No, it sounds actually like a nerve issue in the ball of your foot, Anna, and it sounds like you may have one of those things called neuromas.
Uh-huh.
So you may be one of these people that are very vulnerable to increased pressure on the nerves, creating pain.
Do those come and go, Doc?
They can come and go, absolutely. But sometimes they come and stay.
Yeah, I have one, and then it comes
We've
and goes.
We've talked about it, I remember. Yeah, it comes and goes. Lots of times women have them that come and stay just because of different shoes they wear, and they tend to bother. But it really depends upon, you know, how irritated the nerve gets, because the nerve changes, and sometimes it changes and it becomes continually problematic with walks, and it's treatable. So you may want to look up, Anna, a good podiatrist, and
go across the river and see Doug.
Well, no,
what
right
is
here.
It called again?
A neuroma, N-E-U-R-O-M-A, and the common one is called a Morton's neuroma in the foot. And if I could, I can give our information.
Yeah, will you please give your information?
So anybody that's interested, you can just find out more information on our website, which is hvfa.com. That stands for Hudson Valley Foot Associates. You can always find us online on Facebook. We have a really good Facebook presence at HVFA, Hudson Valley Foot Associates.
Do you have to pay somebody a lot of money to do that?
We pay a person an amazing amount of money, but she deserves it because our presence is fantastic. She's great at it. But anyway, so Hudson Valley Foot Associates, and we are in the Albany area now. We've moved to the Albany area. So we're around here as well as all around the Hudson Valley with our eight locations. So
eight locations?
Yes.
It's almost as much as we have radio stations.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We can put a radio tower in all of our offices and bring the signal in.
Okay. Anna. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate
Thank
it very
you.
Much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah, bye. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Lily in Saratoga. Hi, Lily.
Yes, hi. I am calling about my 10-year-old son, who is a competitive gymnast. And he has some swellings on the outside of his heel. So we went and saw our doc, and they did x-rays, and it sort of an irritated growth plate issue. I guess it's very common in gymnasts. And I was curious, what more can we do? We use gel heel pads for his shoes. We actually even tape them onto his feet for practice. He trains about 20 hours a week. And while they're not painful all the time, there are still definitely swellings that are painful to rub or push on. Walking around day to day, it doesn't bother him. It's usually at the end of practice.
Sure. So let me just explain what you're talking about for everybody out there. It actually has two names. It's called apophysitis or Sever's disease. It's not a disease, though, so don't get worried. And what it is it's an irritation of the growth plate. It's very common between the kids ages 8 to 12, 7 to 13, that range. It is self-limiting, which means that it will go away eventually. But yes, we do things for it because, you know, these are vital years for the kids that want to be active in sports or gymnastics or what have you.
Yep.
So, you know, the gymnastics puts a lot of strain with the jumps, the landings, the floor exercises. But it could be any sport. We see so many kids with this issue. And often they have flat feet. Maybe your child has flat feet, maybe not. But what happens is, just to give you an overview, the growth plate is being irritated by the tendon. The growth plate is open. It hasn't closed yet.
And where is the growth plate?
It's in the back of the and bottom of the heel.
Okay.
In that particular, all bones have a growth plate. In that case, it's near the back and bottom of the heel. And the Achilles tendon attaches around that area, and it pulls on it, and it creates an irritation. So what we usually try to do, we'll take the kids out of their sports sometimes. We usually try to keep them competing. But if it's really swollen, really painful, then sometimes we do immobilize it for a week to calm it down and then get them back to activities. We'll often use orthotics for these children that will stabilize the feet. We put heel lifts on them so that the elevation takes pressure off the growth plate. And usually they're very treatable, and I would recommend you see a good podiatrist, not just get a diagnosis, but someone that can evaluate, does your son need orthotics, does your son need any PT, exercises, what have you, taping, strappings, you know, splint straps, to help him compete successfully and not miss time. But it's very common, and hopefully you can keep him going, but it will self-limit at some point.
Lily, thank you very much. Let's go to Mary Louise in Goshen, Connecticut. All right. Mary Louise, your turn.
Hi, doctors. My question is, what can you do for thick nails on the on the feet?
That's a great question.
You are now Dr. Short Talk.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question. Especially
you want to take this one?
No, but especially the thick nails with oogies underneath them.
That's right. So, Mary Lou, again, how old are you? May I
I'm
ask?
I'm 70.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, how many nails are thick?
Just one.
Okay. So, the thick toenails, it's called a mycotic or fungus toenail.
Right.
The medical term is called onychomycosis. It can be initiated by heredity, trauma, injury, whatever it may be, gardening without your shoes on. There's so many reasons why you can get an injured, damaged nail, and when it becomes thick, the most common reason is the fungus that's in there. It's a fungus among us. So what we end up doing first, we'll get a diagnosis. We'll take a little clipping of the toenail, send it into the lab, and diagnose, make sure it's fungus. And then there are different ways to treat it. We have three different pathways. We have the topical medicines. There are some new ones out nowadays that are much better than the old ones. We have the oral medications, and then we have laser therapy. And depending upon your nail, one or all of those treatments are effective. We try not to remove the nail. We try to treat it and get it better. But if we have to, sometimes we'll allow a new one to grow in if it's being resistant. And it's up to you if you want treatment. We usually recommend treatment so it doesn't spread and you end up with, you know, 8 or 10 of those.
But I'm but you raise a very good question, Doug. I wanted to follow up on that. Suppose you just, Charlotte, I don't give a damn. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of those, and you know, sometimes they grow out, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. Why should I go spend a lot of money and do a lot?
That's the thing. You don't have to.
But
you're a guy.
Suppose it was.
Louise is a woman.
Suppose it was cancer of the nail.
No. There are times, just so you know, to be clear, I have diagnosed, and as my partners have, melanoma in a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we always have a high index suspicion for, but it's so rare that on a call like this, it's most likely a fungus toenail.
Yeah.
But it's one out of how many hundreds of thousands would be a risk factor.
Could you take antifungal medicine orally?
There are antifungal oral medications. There's been on the market for 25 plus years. It's called Lamisil or terbinafine is generic.
Mm-hmm.
We have safe ways of prescribing it. Some people don't want to take the pills, and that's understandable, but it has about a 65% cure rate for fungus toenails, and the laser is up there as high or higher. And that's
so what does it mean when you go to the foot person, you know, on the corner, the nail person, and she takes a look at your fungal, your fungal thing and makes a face? What do you think that means?
It means it's ugly. Go to the podiatrist.
Okay. Mary Louise, what else you want to know?
I just wanted to ask, so you said there's a topical medication, there's laser, and what was the other one?
There's pills, oral medications for antifungal treatment.
Oh, it's an oral medication.
And you should see a podiatrist and, you know, go to one that possibly has a laser, because that's
a
nice way to treat it. So, and see what you can do. But it is nice if you get rid of it, but that's up to you. You can live with it if it's not painful.
No, it's not painful, but you're right. It's nice to get rid of it.
Thank you, Mary Louise.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
And we'll go to number three, which is Joan, I believe. Is that
John.
What it says?
John in Kingston.
Oh, John. You see, I can't see from here. John, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Great. For about the last year or so, I'm 45 years old. I've been waking up in the morning or the middle of the night, and both of my feet are almost too painful to walk on. And it seems to go away as the day goes on, and my feet are fine. I went to my primary doctor. He did some tests for rheumatoid arthritis and diabetes. It's neither of those. But I just find that when I go to bed at night, my feet are throbbing. And in the morning, like the top parts, the top side parts, the outer side parts, is where the pain seems to be located. So do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, I would say it's not normal if you're not diabetic. And which you're not, I assume. And even if you are, it's not normal to have this. So to go to bed at night and have your feet throbbing is not normal, John. You're our neighbor in Kingston. We're right there on Hurley Avenue. So you may want to come in. That's something that should be looked at to see what's going on.
Okay.
So, don't be a stranger. And again, without having a visual of your foot and radiographs, you know, often it's not blood work because that's looking for a systemic problem. So they ruled out rheumatoid, but it usually is a general foot problem that you're having throughout the day that are making your feet achy, painy at night. And
Achy, painy.
That's a medical term.
But of course,
metatarsal.
I want to jump on this one and ask the next question.
Yeah.
What if you go to sleep and your feet are cold? So you put socks on and then you wake up in the middle of the night and your feet are hot. What's that all about?
I mean, just sleeping next to somebody that's making
hot.
You...
Somebody's hot.
Right. But it's not uncommon to have cold feet and hot feet go back and forth.
Yeah.
And cold feet is not always a sign of poor circulation. You can be just have cold feet, you know. That's
put socks on, take them off.
You're afraid to get engaged, married, all that stuff. That could be cold feet.
That's very good.
But take your socks off and let the air get to it. But it is something that happens. It gets cold and hot, and it's nothing serious.
Give me that. Give me your information one more time, Doug.
Oh, Hudson Valley Foot Associates, HVFA.com. And
HVFA.com.
You can find us on Facebook as well and on the web.
I do have wide feet, and I do. Most of my shoes that I wear are the wide size shoes, but could it be just from wearing narrow shoes for too long during the day? Because I do work outside quite a bit just for hobby purposes, and I might work like 5 hours at a time landscaping or something, and that be part of it?
It certainly could be, but it just still seems a little unusual. So,
you're John, too young. Listen to the doctor. Thank you, John. Let's go very quickly to Irene in Rosendale. Irene,
yes. You
have a fungal toenail, I'll bet.
Right, just continuing, what's the comparative rate of effectiveness and length of time to get rid of the fungus between the prescription topical and the laser?
Good question. Well, it always takes the time to grow a nail out.
Mm. However, how long does that take?
Well, it could be, 6+ months to grow a nail out or more. Yeah. It only grows about a millimeter a month, but it's the kill rate we're interested in, the effectiveness. The kill rate on the topicals that are the best nowadays are Jublia and Keridin. You know, they're about 20%, but that doesn't mean it's not going to work. We are seeing really good results with them, whereas the laser and the orals, you're up around the 60-70% kill rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get much better results with the laser and the orals than the topicals. But I still use topicals because, they're an easy thing to do, and you just got to continue. It's 48 weeks in the topical in the literature to use it.
Irene, thank you. Let's go to Maria. Is that what it is?
Maria.
Yeah, you've got to do this really quickly. We have no time. Go ahead, Maria.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Maria's not there.
Hello, Maria.
Can we grab Laura?
Maria. Okay. Okay. Then we'll try. Well, yeah. No, there's no. Laura's number one. Okay. Laura, you got 1 second. Go ahead. What do you want to know?
Calling about hallux rigidus, and I'd like to know what you think about the new procedure that's been approved, Cartiva.
Yeah, a good procedure, and there's a lot of things for hallux rigidus, and depending upon the age, we do a lot of fusions, and we do a lot of the new implants, so certainly you're on the right track, and as long as you're with somebody you trust and it's board certified, good option.
If you have a fusion, how does that impact your ability to walk, hike, dance?
Most of our patients do really well hiking, walking, dancing. The only thing you can't do is wear a high heel.
I was just going to ask that.
Other than that, if you're not into high heels, but even if you have a hallux rigidus, high heels, even after any surgery, is going to be challenging. They say you'll get a certain amount of range of motion with other implants. Implants, we like, we don't love, but fusions, we just have great results with them. Long term, they hold up. They never cause pain again, and you can wear just about all shoes except high heels in all activities for the most part.
Okay.
And you don't have to wear rocker-soled shoes.
No. Normal shoes.
Okay, thanks.
You got it, Laura.
Thank you very much, everybody. And it's time to go. And I'm looking for that sheet. Okay, we're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to no one because no one was left on the line. Dr. Doug Tooman, thanks again for joining us today. We really love having you here, Doug. You're just our funny, and you're good, and you know your stuff. Underwriting support for Medical Monday comes from Nathan Littauer Hospital, Gloversville, New York, now offering new MRI technology with wideboard scans and feet-first exams, NLH.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to the wonderful Dina Salzman for answering the phones today. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok, and Ray Graff has been helping out on the producing today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update.